Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning. The wonderfully prayerful Quaker activist and teacher, Parker Palmer, writes fairly openly and extensively about several times in his life when he experienced fairly profound depressions. He describes the way that a clinical depression of any kind, whether it's situational in your life due to special circumstances going on or something that you struggle with throughout the course of your life, that for him, the depression was very isolating. He, like most people with depression, he found it difficult to enjoy the beauty of a sunny day and the birds chirping or the companionship of friends. He says, during those times, many people would come and try to help cajole him out of his depression, bring him meals, try to get him out of the house. And he said, you know, I don't want to speak ill of anybody who tried to help me during that time. But the reality is that most of the people who came to him during those times were like Job's friends. They were coming and were either fearful of the depression, and he could see that in their eyes, that you know they had some sense that maybe this would be contagious if they spent too long with him. Or they tried to fix it, you know, getting him outside. Well, if only you exercise the endorphins in your brain, you know, all sorts of different, very well-meaning, but things that made him feel even worse. Because he said, if I could fix it, I would have fixed it, and none of those suggestions weren't helpful. Or the people who blamed him for his depression. Well, you do lead such a solitary life as a writer and as a mystic, so of course you're prone to a depression because of who you are and how you live. But they weren't intentionally trying to blame him, but in their own minds, as they were trying to make sense of seeing a friend so deeply in pain, we all, I think, probably recognize in ourselves those own tendencies when we're around people who are ill in any way. So during that time, the one thing that kept him sort of grounded in reality and ultimately helped bring him back to life was his friend Bill, who came by every afternoon and would simply kneel down next to his chair, take off his socks and shoes, and give him a gentle foot massage for a few minutes. He said somehow he knew that there was still a place on my body where I could be touched, where I could be accessed. And while Bill was there, he just listened and would say things like, it sounds like this is an incredibly painful day for you. It must be so difficult for you to feel so alienated and isolated from your families. I've been through depression myself, but I can't imagine what you're going through because I'm not you. So Bill was mostly just a faithful and quiet presence who was willing to show up and to touch him, literally to touch him with his words and with his hands. The healing that we see Jesus do in the gospel lesson today is very much of this kind of healing. We don't know how long Simon's mother-in-law had been sick with a fever, but it was long enough that she had taken to bed and she was no longer performing her role as the good Jewish mother of the household, serving and taking care of everybody. And so she not only was dealing with whatever physical ailment she had, but then also the shame of not being able to cook for her family, clean for her family. Or if not as severe as shame, the deep desire that she may have had to be in the midst of family gatherings and to host people in her home. We all have been around people who we don't know why they have a fever and are in bed. But after a day or two, we stop having compassion for them. You know, there can be those moments where you think, oh, he or she is just malingering, or how come she doesn't get up? Or you know, we start judging, we start explaining away. We lose the willingness or the tenderness to care for them. And sometimes that's incredibly natural if we're exhausted from caring for them, or they're a particularly irascible personality. That's perfectly understandable that we put some distance between us and someone who is down with the fever. In the gospel, the fever is very closely aligned with a demon. We don't know if this was truly a physical illness, or if this was some mental illness as we would understand it today. But regardless, Jesus was told this woman was in trouble, and he went right to her bedside, and he touched her. It is so easy for us, especially here on the Cape, with so many people who are in need of various kinds, who might be lonely or sick or suffering from addictions. We're dealing with life transitions that we find particularly painful. It can be so easy for us to just turn and walk away, not to see them. It can be even more difficult for us to walk over to them and simply be with them without fixing or blaming or judging the circumstance that they're in. And in our culture, touch is such a tricky thing. It's hard, I'm a pretty touchy-feely person, and it's hard for me to imagine regularly going over to somebody's house and even giving them a hand massage, let alone something as intimate as taking off a friend's shoes and massaging his or her feet. And yet it's unmistakable that when we are in that level of suffering and in need of healing in our own lives, the power of touch and somebody simply holding your hand can be extremely restorative. So as you sit with this gospel lesson, I hope that you'll allow God to bring to your mind people who are in your circle of family and friends, or perhaps one step removed, who you might see in bed with a fever, or sitting lonely and hurt and crushed by the circumstances of their life. And that God might give you the strength to go over and to be with them, simply to bear witness to whatever the suffering is that they're experiencing. And then the tricky flip side of this coin is that Simon's mother-in-law, whose name we don't know, had the courage to accept the healing. I know personally that when I'm in a life circumstance that is in need of healing, I can get like Parker Palmer. I can get completely isolated and shut down. It can be so hard to open yourself to friends and family who are trying to reach out to you, who are trying to bear witness to whatever it is that you're going through, and to be able to say thank you and cry with them, to accept their love. Or to be honest with them and say, please stop trying to fix me. Could you just sit here? Or thank you for being honest with me about how my actions affect you. I have no way of knowing that unless you tell me. Thank you. Now will you just sit with me? We are all in profound need of healing in some place in our lives. And we are surrounded by people in profound need of healing. And Jesus shows us today that all we have to do is have the courage to walk over to the person who we see who's suffering and in need, to allow people to walk over to us when we are suffering in need, to reach out our hands, and to allow that healing grace of God to flow between us. When we can keep it that simple, whatever put this woman in her bed, whatever pulls you down and weighs so heavily on you, can be relieved in a second. Jesus touches her and she stands up. We can have that same feeling of our burdens falling away from us if we can truly open ourselves to the grace of God. So I pray that Jesus will use each and every one of you as an instrument of healing in the lives of your friends and loved ones. and that he will use them to reach deeply to you and to help salve whatever those wounds are that exist in your heart, in your body, or in your soul. Amen. Let us now stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.